I know that you have like an online presence.
Oh yeah.
Or should I just call like Mystic?
I think.
You know what? No, no. I just like heard that come out of my mouth, and it's like that sounds like degrading, like a little bit, like it sounds like a little bit like a slang.
Ah, like, I understand what you mean.
Sorry, Mister. And it's like I'm not
sorry,
gonna
Mister.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get caught up on that, like in audio.
Yeah, I think you. Yeah, I don't think you'll be called out or anything. So we are live and recording. We're just talking with the world, folks. I'm here with a brother of mine. You know what I'm saying? And we're just having a little lunch and discussing things. And we wanted to share with you guys a little bit about Freemasonry. You know, it's not going to be like a history lesson or anything, but I just figured this would be a good time, as we both are brother Freemasons, to just kind of chat and let you guys listen into the chat, and so you understand that Freemasons aren't actually crazy people, but they're actually really normal and intelligent guys, and we like to have a good time. All right, so if you want to see a picture of our meal, we're going to post that as the screenshot, so definitely check that out. But yeah, Steven, man, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, nothing much. Just enjoying myself, having good food and good company, breaking
yes.
bread as all Freemasons should.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, one thing that bothers me, like, with like how we're perceived as Freemasons, is a lot of like the bootleg Freemason groups out there.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Freemason is a lot more than just a dues card and a placard, a pin, badge. Like, you have so many of like these Freemason jackets being sold, like these bootleg setups.
Yeah.
Like, you can become a Freemason out of like a flea market a lot of times.
Yep.
You buy like a square and compass and wear a chain. There's a lot of things that aren't becoming of a Freemason.
Exactly.
And it's like, if you're wearing like a ratted up clothing, your truck's like beat all to hell, and you've got like a big giant emblem of like Freemason, we're hard workers, but we also take pride in who we are.
Yep.
And your way of introducing me to that you're a Freemason is, hey, look at my jacket.
Mm-hmm.
No, we know each other by the way we walk, the way we talk, and how we shake hands.
I think that's well said.
We're all men. We all came up the same way, and we know who we are, and knowing who we are, we know who our brothers are.
Absolutely.
Anything I can get you here,
Paul?
It is, thank you.
Yep. Sorry for the answer.
Oh, no worries.
I guess I'm
just... No worries.
But, what about you? Like, what have you seen, like, on the lines of, like, bootleg masonry?
I'm glad you brought that up first, because it actually is one of the things that alarms me most, is that I've actually encountered these lodges. I've actually ran into members of these lodges. You never really know until it's too late, sort of.
A lot of them don't even realize that they're not, like, real...
Yes.
Associated, like, lineage connected to, like, a greater group. It's just a... Do you know how a lot of that got started?
The clandestine...
A lot of that got started, like, after the Civil War and after World War I, Masons basically treated each other right and basically had a higher expectation for interacting with people.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We would actually give comfort to our enemy. There was a...
Yes.
Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party was very adamant against the Masons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes they had like German soldiers, like the farther outstretched areas where you would have a German soldier that was a Freemason. It was rare, but it happened. One of the soldiers was caught with like a ring, and he was a dying German soldier. Now, instead of just leaving him in the ditch or just like leaving him in a puddle to die, they gave him comfort in those last moments of life.
absolutely.
Even during the Civil War, they had they captured a base, and when they had all the resources, the opposition's force would be able to issue out like the paycheck rations to their forces, and instead of having opposition I forget the exact general's name, he wrote a letter to like an opposing general and said, here, I know that you're a fellow brother, this is so that your men won't suffer. We are fighting each other, we are going to be fighting in the fields of battle. There's no need for unnecessary suffering. Although I do not agree with you in this matter, here's a lack of suffering, we'll fight tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't understand that there's a lot of respect within the Freemasonic family and history, you know. And also, if you look into, I spent a nice amount of time in the library over at the Masonic Temple, and I asked the question, what makes a lodge clandestine? Where did that come about? And what I started to find was information that continues to suggest that the divide came because of things based on ritual and charter. So it really boiled down to what lodges perform similar degree work or degree of a certain ritual work, and then it was who actually had a charter that came from the Grand Lodge of England, or so forth and so forth. And before the issuing of the charters and before the trying to make ritual work regular, you know, trying to make it regulated, before that there was numerous amounts of differences, as I understood. And so the idea that a lodge could be clandestine is almost, it's almost a new thing, like a new occurrence, you know, because before that you would have varying lodges with varying rituals all over the place.
Sorry to backtrack a little bit. It's like a beautiful summary. But after like the wars, a lot of people returning home, they saw like how we interacted with each other, even like the faces of battle, how we took care of each other, how we got involved with the community, that Masonry really started to take a liking with the people. Masonry boomed in America after the wars for how we interacted with each other, how we were a good... We're all good men, but we always try to make each other better. So you're going in and you're already looking nice, but we really shine amongst each other. And that drew a liking to a lot of people, and they went up to the Masons and asked, how could we be more like you? And they joined our ranks. We held high expectations of them, as we do ourselves, and that's how Freemasonry built.
Yeah. So would you recommend Freemasonry for individuals today? Do you think it's still the kind of organization it started out to be? And in fact, what do you think Freemasonry, what do you really think the purpose of Freemasonry was? Why it was actually established?
To make good men better. Now, I wouldn't recommend Freemasonry to anyone. I would tell them about it. It's like if someone asks me, like, how I'm doing so right, why? There's a lot of answers, but I take pride in what I do. And if you like what you see with Freemasonry, you like our halls, you like the foundation of what we do, charity work, you like helping your friends out and being a good man, and you just want to basically polish yourself to be a little bit better or a whole lot better, we're not going to accept you if you're not already a good man. But if you want to be a better man, and you're already a good man, We'd be happy to call you brother.
I think that's well said. So there you folks have it. Just a little bit about Freemasonry. I'm here with a decent brother. All right, you guys are going to be able to check this out online. You'll be able to hear it
yes, please.
Via Facebook and on the, what is this app called? Anchor. All right, via Anchor app. All right, so guys, I'm going to go ahead and sign off and dig further into this salad. It's awesome. And yeah, make sure you guys visit the website, www.daus.me. And until next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.